Well, I trust that today will be a first for most of you, if not all of you. We will have Christmas in Amos. It's wonderful that you can see the Messiah in all of the books of the Bible, isn't it? But we have as a jump-off point that marvelous passage, that familiar passage in Luke chapter 2. Shepherds. And really, that's where we started the book of Amos. Amos the shepherd. If you look with me in Luke chapter 2, once again, it says in verse 8, "And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night." Shepherds. Of all the humans on the face of the earth, both small and great, shepherds were chosen to actually deliver the message first. Think about that. Shepherds. God chose shepherds. This was not just an arbitrary happenstance. It was not just a chance happening. God ordained that shepherds should hear. "And the angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. The angel of the Lord said to them, 'Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, what shall be for all people.'" And then it says in verse 15, "And it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds began saying to one another, 'Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.'" Bethlehem, that little village, very much a part of shepherding, known for its shepherds. They were out in the fields, but let's go back into the village for this. "And they came in haste. They found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger." Well, that would not be a strange thing in a shepherd community to find a manger. "And when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child." The shepherds were actually the first to make known the birth of the Messiah. "And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by" who? The shepherds. The shepherds. The agents in which God chose to proclaim the message. "And Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they heard and seen, just as had been told them." Chosen. Chosen first to glorify God. Chosen first to bring that marvelous good news of the message of the Christ child born. Chosen first to see the birth of the child. Before the wise men, the shepherds were privy to these things, that God would choose shepherds. It is one of the main points of Amos. And if you turn back there to Amos in chapter 1, we'll see how the book begins in Amos chapter 1. Amos chapter 1 starts off this way in verse 1. "The words of Amos, who was among the sheep herders from Tekoa." Tekoa, I wonder where Tekoa is. Well, it's in the neighborhood of Bethlehem. Would that surprise you? Jerusalem is just but 5 or 6 miles from Bethlehem. Tekoa is within the region of 5 miles from Bethlehem. The same shepherds that would be in the field around Bethlehem would be around Tekoa. It's a familiar area to the shepherds because these are shepherd hills. And Tekoa really is the last place that the sheep would be able to graze before they went into the south desert. So Tekoa was the door into the region of Bethlehem, into the region of where the shepherds would graze their sheep. It was a shepherd, therefore, that God gave a message to, Amos. And he says, take this message to the people of Israel, those who are proud and arrogant. That he would choose a shepherd to us seems strange, but the more you get into Scripture, you realize there's a pattern forming. For God seems to continually choose shepherds. Oftentimes think of the very beginning in which we have two boys born to Adam and Eve, one Cain and one Abel. Cain worked the ground. Abel was a sheep herder, a shepherd. God chose the shepherd, even though at that time the shepherd was below a man working the dirt. Nevertheless, God chose Abel. And it was Abraham, a shepherd, that God chose. Isaac, a shepherd that God chose. Jacob, a shepherd that God chose. And it would be Jacob that would actually be heading towards Bethlehem for his sheep to graze when his dear beloved wife Rachel would die, just outside of Bethlehem. She would have a son, and she would name him Son of Bitterness, but Jacob would not have it. He would name him Son of My Right Hand. And just before they went to Bethlehem, a prophecy would be given that someday Son of My Right Hand would be born in Bethlehem. It would be in this little area of Bethlehem that a lady by the name of Ruth would end up living. She would marry a man by the name of Boaz, and she would have a son by the name of Obed, and he would have a son by the name of Jesse, and he would have a son by the name of David. And David would be a shepherd and would be called while he was watching the sheep. My point is that you begin seeing a pattern. And the pattern is that God continued to call shepherds. If you look with me in Amos in chapter 4, you see the heart of a shepherd all the way through the book of Amos. It is a heart that cares for the sheep. It is a heart that is concerned for those that would trample the sheep and cause harm to them. Interesting prophecy in Amos chapter 4, verse 1, his concern for the cows of Bashan, for they would easily trample on and cause the sheep great damage. His statement is in chapter 4, verse 1, hear this word, you cows of Bashan, who are on the mountain of Samaria, who oppress the weak, the small, the poor. Trampling, stampeding the sheep of God. If you look with me in chapter 5 of Amos, in verse 21, his proclamation is that he hates and rejects their festivals. Verse 21 reads this way, I hate, I reject your festivals, nor do I delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer up to me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them. I will not even look at the peace offerings of your fatlings. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not even listen to the sound of your harps. And then he says a shepherd thing. Verse 24. Let justice roll down like waters. That would be a shepherd thing. The wanting of the waters for the sheep. That it would bring refreshment. His statement here is do the right thing so that it would be refreshing towards the sheep. And righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, abundant supplying. The point of the matter is that there were many that Amos would talk to, prophesy to, that would define themselves as shepherds. I think a lot of times people take names and they glorify them, and they like to have the title of shepherd, but they just don't like to do the work of a shepherd. They'll have a romantic thought, they'll sing songs, the whole while they'll deliver the shepherds to their slaughter, or the sheep to the slaughter. If you look with me in chapter 6, that really is a case in point. In chapter 6, we see the arrogance of those that were in Samaria. And in verse 4, it reads this way. There are those who recline in beds of ivory, sprawl on their couches, eat lambs from their flocks. It's a picture of impetuousness. It's a picture of not even waiting for a lamb to mature, a sheep to mature. Cast from the midst of the stall, who improvise to the sound of the harp, and like David, have composed songs for themselves. They want to be a shepherd. They want to identify with the great shepherd David. Nevertheless, there's nothing shepherd about them. They're devouring the weak, and they're using the poor for their own benefits. They're at great ease in their mountains. They feel secure, in chapter 6, verse 1, in their place. But God sends them a shepherd to warn them. A shepherd that has a heart for the weak, for the poor, for the lowly, to mend the broken, to care for the sheep. It is not a mistake that Amos ends the way that it does in chapter 9, if you'll turn there with me. For Amos, a shepherd, is going to reveal that someday God is going to raise up that shepherd which was meant to be. The statement is in Amos chapter 9 and verse 11, In that day I will raise up the fallen booth of David. It was not a kingdom that was being thought of when he said the word booth. It was not a great temple that he was talking about when he said the word booth. It was a lean-to that he had in mind. It was the shepherd's lean-to. David was the great shepherd king. But as he became the great king, he forgot what it was to be a shepherd. It'll be at a time in which he actually murders a good friend by the name of Uriah, that he'll be called back to be a shepherd again. Nathan the prophet will go before him, and he'll tell him a story about sheep. Nathan will not appeal to David the king. He will appeal to David the shepherd. And he'll say, "So what would you think of a person that would steal a lamb?" David would immediately get upset, because the shepherd in him would not let him think any differently. That's why God wants shepherds, because shepherds have shepherds' hearts. And that's the kind of person that God continually calls. And I'm reminded in Scripture that even if you're not a shepherd, God will train you to be one. He put Moses in 40 years of training as a shepherd, so that he would learn to shepherd the people of God for 40 years. 40 years of training. That's a long training. I guess you can learn a lot about sheep in that amount of time. That God is calling us to be shepherds. And so if you take the journey with me throughout Scripture from the very beginning of time, it seems as if this has been God's way all along. it seems as if these are the kind of men that he chooses all along. There's a great passage in Ezekiel chapter 34, and if you turn there with me, it gives us a wonderful picture of what a shepherd is. Ezekiel chapter 34. It starts off at the beginning of this particular chapter. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, thus says the Lord God, woe shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves. Should not shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and you clothe yourself with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly, you have not strengthened. The diseased, you have not healed. The broken, you have not bound up. The scattered, you have not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost. Well, that's what shepherds do. They have not been shepherds. If you drop down with me in chapter 34 in verse 11, God declares this simple prophecy. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd cares for his herd in the day when he is among his scattered sheep, so I will care for my sheep and will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on a cloudy and gloomy day. That's quite a picture, isn't it? I mean, one of the reasons why the sheep scattered is because they're confused and oppressed and in many cases depressed in their lives. Oftentimes think of Christmas as, to many people, a very depressing and difficult time because there's a lot of expectations that are going on and a lot of loss is realized and remembered during these times. I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and bring them to their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the streams, and in all the inhabited places of the land. I will feed them in good pasture, and their grazing ground will be on the mountain heights of Israel. There they will lie down in good grazing ground, and they will feed in the rich pasture on the mountain of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will lead them to rest, declares the Lord. I'll seek the lost. I'll bring back the scattered. I'll bind up the broken. I'll strengthen the sick. What a great picture of a shepherd. It's no wonder David would write that blessed psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Shepherds are not caught up into the world. They're caught up into their sheep. Description is given so clearly in John chapter 10, a familiar passage, but one we can't pass over. For it is the great description of Jesus Christ being that good shepherd that was promised. He says in John chapter 10, in this marvelous chapter, verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he's a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and calls his own sheep by name. A good shepherd knows his sheep. Proverbs says, know well the condition of your flock, and a good shepherd does. When he puts forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice, the inflection of their master. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what those things were which he had been saying to them. Jesus therefore said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pasture." You know, when we heard that wonderful gospel, the Spirit of God began to call us, and we recognized that voice. I am, verse 11, the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling, not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, beholds the wolf coming, he runs. Leaves the sheep and flees. The wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's not the shepherd. He's just hired. He's not concerned about the sheep, but the shepherd is. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Great comfort, verse 16. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, that they may hear my voice, and they shall become one flock with one shepherd. Oh yeah, by the way, he loses not one. The good shepherd. Of all the people on the face of the earth, God would choose shepherds to reveal his glorious message. But not only would he use shepherds to reveal his glorious message, he would call his men to be shepherds. If you come to the end of the Gospel of John and turn with me in John chapter 21. We know that Peter was a fisherman. And he at one time had said, "I'm going to make you fishers of men." But really, he was going to make Peter a shepherd. And if you turn with me in John chapter 1, we start off with Peter resorting back to fishing. But Jesus will not allow him to go back to fishing. For Jesus has called Peter, as I believe he is calling today, shepherds. If you look with me in John chapter 21, it starts off in verse 15. So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to a fisherman, "Tend my lambs." To a fisherman. He wants him to be a shepherd. He is calling Peter to be a shepherd. Just like Christ, born in Bethlehem, a shepherd. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11 says, "Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them and gently lead them." Shepherds are very simple people. That's why God chooses them. They're not caught up in the complications of the world. If you were to ask them, "What are you doing today?" they're going to say something like, "I'm going to watch the sheep." What do you mean by that? We're going to take care of them. What do you mean by that? Well, some will be hurting, we'll have to mend them. Some will be in greater need and be lost, and we'll have to find them. All we will have to feed and make sure that they find green pasture and still waters. We've got a pretty busy day. Well, you're not going to be going into town. Don't have time to go into town. See, shepherds have really no ties to earthly pleasures. They're in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night. And almost everything that they need is where they are. And they don't go in town much. If they do go in town, it's going to be a small one like Bethlehem. It's going to be a shepherd town. Shepherds really have no concern about what men think, because they're concerned about the sheep. And so peer pressure and, you know, what the new craze is, is just not a part of their vocabulary. They're not into that. Real shepherds really have no fear for their own lives. If they're good shepherds, they will lay down their lives for their sheep. That's a strange phenomenon, isn't it? That a shepherd would do something like that. Their concern is for the sheep entrusted to them, and they will be tender and compassionate towards them. And the smallest of sheep, they will care for. Unlike man, who seems to not only discard sheep, but discards humans, caring not for those around him. God has a message that he once proclaimed. Who do you think he would call? Somebody that's unfearing, that's uncaring, that's involved in the things of the world, that's immersed in his own desires, or somebody that actually cares for those weaker than himself? I mean, it makes perfect sense. And as Jesus is talking with Peter in these lines, the same command goes over and over and over again. The question is, of course, do you love me? But the answer that Christ wants him to do, the thing that he wants him to do over and over again, is to be a shepherd. Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my sheep. Verse 16. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, shepherd my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he had said this a third time. Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, tend my sheep. Every single time. Care for them. Watch over them. Protect them. Guide them. Direct them. Feed them. What is clear is that God is not looking for cowboys. He's not looking for entertainers. God is not looking for CEOs. God is looking for shepherds. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? To proclaim his message. If you look with me in Acts chapter 20, it is the declaration of Paul to the overseers at the church at Ephesus. Acts chapter 20. Paul tells the church at Ephesus, I didn't shrink from telling you anything. I proclaim to you the whole word of God. And then he turns to them and he says, now you're going to have to be shepherds. If you pick up with me, he states this in verse 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the what? Flock. Among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God. If you would underline the word shepherd, it is the same word found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, pastor. God is calling for pastors. He's calling for shepherds. He's not calling for what many people think is just a position. It's not a job. It's far more than a job. It's a keeping watch over their flock in the darkness of this world. It's caring for somebody and praying for somebody and seeing wrong things and saying the right things. It's directing them to a place in which there's refreshment, a place where there's strong grazing so they can be fed. God is looking for shepherds. I think of this often when I think of ministry and those that we look for to minister within the church. But let me just say this. Every one of you, God is calling to be a shepherd. And God is calling you to start thinking like shepherds. And I would say this, especially during this Christmas time, there's going to be a lot of roles that we try to take on. But the role of shepherd is the one God is looking for. And it's the role of shepherd that God is going to use in your life. And if God is going to use you to deliver a message like Amos, you're going to have to be a shepherd. Amos will say to those in Israel, "You're right, I'm basically a nobody. And God snatched me while I was shepherding." That's where God will snatch you. You want to be used by God? Then you start ministering to people. You start mending broken hearts. You start directing them to the good shepherd. You start leading them to the truth that will literally feed them. You know, you and I can give people antidotes and we can say, "Good old boy," and all, but you give them the word of God, you're actually feeding them. Up to that point, you're not feeding them. The word of God is the answer to people's lives. Amen. Start shepherding them. And God will use you to proclaim the message of all the people on the face of the earth. He'll tell the angels, "Go to the shepherds and proclaim, have them proclaim the good news." Let's pray. Father, we want to give you thanks for your word that sets us on target, that you would call a man in the region of Tekoa, in the hills of Bethlehem, by the name of Amos, to deliver a message to the proud, to the arrogant, but one that would give a compassionate plea. One who would care for the poor and the lost and the meek. One that would seek to bring them home. You chose a shepherd. Lord, you know that the shepherd booth has fallen. It's very easy for us to get arrogant and involved in our own stuff, so much so that we become treacherous instead of caring. Build that booth back up. Raise the booth of the shepherd in our lives. Cause us to see people as sheep without a shepherd. Give us the compassion of one who sees the wandering, who sees the brokenness, who sees the confusion of others, especially during this time, which we call Christmas. Your head's bowed and your eyes closed. The Lord wants to use you greatly. What a wonderful opportunity we have during this season to be shepherds. To be the ones that proclaim the good news. The wonders of the heavens. For unto us is born this day in the city of David, little Bethlehem. Micah 5, little Bethlehem, too small to even be a clan. A shepherd's village. Where lean-tos and mangers exist. But God is calling you back to the simple way of life. Don't let this Christmas be so overcomplicated that you starve the sheep. Let them see the simple things like care and kindness. Let them see affection that would bind and lead. Simple pleasures that would cause the calves to skip on the hills. Let them see. Let them see the good shepherd in you. You pray a sunny place.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and story, because I know it is true, it satisfies my longings as nothing else can do.
Just makes perfect sense that you would only entrust the good news to people that care for others. We give you thanks in Jesus' name.